In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit, who makes all things new, who makes us out of dust and makes all things new, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. You say, what? Can you imagine other people who read that Athanasian Creed? Or maybe you tonight, as you confessed it once again, as you're reading through some of those statements, is that your reaction? We say, what? Let's take a look at what God's Word very clearly teaches us with the words of the Athanasian Creed. For tonight, for the Scripture, in addition to the three that we have, I'd also like to share with you some verses from 1 Corinthians chapter 2. If you're in the habit of opening your Bible and using that during the sermon time, I'd suggest you open to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Let me share with you verses 13 and 14. I'll share with you a few other verses later on. Paul writes, "This is what we speak, not in words taught us by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, expressing spiritual truths in spiritual words. The man without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, for they're foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them because they're spiritually discerned." It was a day similar to this. Little Johnny had gone to church with Mom and Dad, had gone to Sunday school as well, and now Dad and Johnny were walking back to the car. Mom and brother were still talking with somebody else. But Johnny comes to Dad and he says, "Dad, I don't quite understand it. My Sunday school teacher told me today that God is like water. Sometimes it's liquid, sometimes it's steam, sometimes it's ice, but it's always water. But you know, Pastor Davis, in the children's message, had said God's like a pie that you cut into three equal sections, but it's still all one pie. And then Peter, he said that his Sunday school teacher told him that God is like an egg. It has a shell, and it has a white, and it has a yolk. So, Dad, which one is it?" Dad thought for a moment, and he said, "Go ask your mother." We just kind of expect people to know what God is, don't we? We just kind of expect that when we talk about God, everybody understands what we talk about and what we mean by God. But you know as well as I do, there's a lot of definitions of God in the world today. And most of them are wrong. Most of them are wrong, and that's why we have creeds. That's why we have these confessions. You know, we maybe should use the Athanasian Creed a little more than once a year, just because it has some very important statements in it. Difficult, yes. Maybe not quite as easy to understand as the Apostles' Creed and the Nicene Creed that we confess each and every Sunday, but some very important kinds of statements. Now, it's not that terribly hard. Moms and dads, they teach their children to pray, "Our Father, who art in heaven." They teach their children to sing, "Jesus loves me, this I know." They teach their children about the Holy Spirit, maybe not just at Pentecost, I hope, but we talk about the Holy Spirit, don't we? We hear about it in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and each time that there's a baptism, we do. We hear about Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And so as the children grow up, we just expect them to know, who is God? Oh, he's Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And yet there's only one God, but there's three persons. And we don't really think maybe a lot more about that. Well, anytime someone tries to explain God, they get into trouble. We don't explain God, we confess him. We don't try to explain God because we can't. And aren't you glad? If we could explain God, God would fit inside of this little spot right in here. And we wouldn't have the God who is the creator of all things. then we would be the one who creates God, wouldn't we? If we could explain and help for people to understand about that, but God is so much greater and so much bigger. We know who God is because he tells us, because he reveals himself to us. At the very, very beginning, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. And the Spirit of the Lord moved upon the face of the deep. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life. And God said, let there be light. And John tells us, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things were created by him. Nothing that was created was made without him. And the Word became flesh and Jesus. Right away, in the beginning in Genesis, we have Father, Spirit, and Son revealed to us in that very special way, all three working together, all three, one God, creating all things, as we just sang, out of dust, creating all things out of nothing. How important it is that we confess it because it's true. You know, we have psychology, we have psychiatry, we have therapy groups and counselors and philosophers and professors all trying to figure us out. They can't figure out people. They can't figure out why we do things certain ways or how it is that we are. How can we expect them to understand or to try and explain God? There's just no way. So the Apostle Paul will write, if you're in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, I share with you now beginning at verse 11. For who among us, who among men, knows the thoughts of a man except the man's spirit within him? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. We have not received the spirit of the world, but the Spirit is from God, that we may understand what God has freely given us. So this is what we speak, not in words taught us by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, expressing spiritual truths in spiritual words. The man without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, for they're foolishness to him, for he cannot understand them because they're spiritually discerned. For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. We have the mind of Christ. Jesus has given to us that understanding and the mind of Christ so that we might be able to confess the truth. A number of years ago, there was a Christian magazine, and the Christian magazine had a little article that says, you know, a person can go to a psychiatrist and become an adjusted sinner. A person can go to a physician and become a healthy sinner. A person can go to the banker and become a rich sinner. A person can go to the lawyer and become a legal sinner. A person can even join a church and become a religious sinner. But it's only through Jesus. It's only through the cross of Jesus that we can come and receive that gift of eternal life. It's only through the cross of Jesus that we can confess and know who Jesus is and to believe that. We have received the mind of Christ. Like a child, we confess the truth. Even though maybe we don't understand it, we can't explain it, like a child, we confess that faith. And we confess it using creeds or confessions. Confessions that were written years and years ago because there was a lot of errors. There were a lot of false things that were being taught in the world. And so we have three universal or ecumenical creeds. You're familiar with the Apostles' Creed. A lot of times we call that the Baptism Creed. It's the first one that we have. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We're familiar with the Nicene Creed, telling us a little bit more about Jesus being true God and true man. We use those every Sunday. We don't always know that Athanasian Creed very well. Number one, because it's so long. But number two, because we seldom take a look at it. And the Nicene Creed and Apostles' Creed both have three nice sections. That's kind of nice. We like things that way. And the Athanasian Creed goes all the way through there, doesn't it? It just kind of says things over and over and over again, trying to help us to understand three in one. Three persons, one God. Not three the same, but one God. And what's important about the Athanasian Creed is it's telling us there's a truth and there's an error. And what it's stating, like all of our creeds, is stick with the truth. The truth is what God reveals to us and gives to us. And so it has some exclusive clauses. It has some clauses. In fact, I don't know if you shuddered a little bit or not, but it begins with a very exclusive clause. It says, "Whosoever will be saved before all things, it is necessary that he hold the Catholic faith, which faith except everyone do keep whole and undefiled, without doubt he shall perish eternally." That's pretty shocking. That's pretty exclusive. Unless you believe this faith, you're not saved. That's what it says. That's how the creed begins. And I don't know, we just confessed it. And the creed ends with another exclusive clause. And the creed says, this is the Catholic faith, all the stuff that we have just said, this is the Catholic faith which except a man believe faithfully and firmly, again it says, he cannot be saved. Oh my! You know, there's a lot of pastors, and there's a lot of people, there's a lot of Christians who say, that's not right. God loves everybody. Everybody's going to be saved. There's no truth. There's no error. There's really no difference. Whoa, the Athanasian Creed said, there's a big difference. And unless you know and believe and confess the truth, you will not be saved. Well, that's very biblical. It's very much what the scriptures talk about. The apostles, as they're preaching to the people, as Peter is speaking to the people, he says, salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved, except for the name of Jesus, of course. Except for the name of Jesus. Confessing the truth of Jesus and confessing that name. Now, we just talked about the fact that the exclusive clause says this is the Catholic faith. And you might go, oh, I'm Lutheran. Did you notice it's small c? You're a Lutheran Catholic. Catholic simply means universal or available to everybody. It's something that is from Scripture that can be confessed with everybody. I'm not sure why the Roman Catholics got that name. They're Roman, all right. But we're also part of the universal church and those that can confess that. And so sometimes people look at this and they say, "Oop, I can't say that. I'm not Catholic." Well, we are. It's universal. It is readily available to everyone for all those who know Jesus Christ and have heard his word. Now, the Athanasian Creed has lots of words in it, has lots of statements, lots of phrases. Augustine, Church Father Augustine, many, many years ago, as he was thinking through this, he made the statement, although the human language does not have enough words, we speak of three persons, not in order to just say that, but rather so as not to remain silent altogether. How do I explain this? Well, I'll use the words, three persons in one God. That's kind of what St. Augustine was talking about. Three persons in one God. A couple more, as this Athanasian Creed, other people get all worked up with this whole business of, oh, the Father must be greater because the Son is begotten and the Holy Spirit proceeds. We confessed it. It's in there. We say, the Son is begotten of the Father. The Holy Spirit proceeds from the Father and the Son. Well, wait a minute. No, three in one. They're all equal. They're all co-eternal. They're all uncreated. They're all the same. So what do we mean when we say that Jesus is begotten of the Father? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Yeah, we use it there, don't we? That he gave his one and only. Jesus is begotten of the Father. He is special. He is the one and only. He is the one by which we have salvation. He is the one and only Son who is our Savior. He's one of a kind. The Son is one of a kind of the Father, is begotten of the Father. And the Holy Spirit proceeds from the Father and the Son. Just before Jesus went to suffer and die, Maundy Thursday, he says, I'm going to send to you another comforter. I'm going to send to you the promised Holy Spirit who proceeds from the Father. Now, let me make it just a little bit easier for you. It's not proceeding in rank, but it's proceeding in order. First, there's Christmas. Then there's Easter. And then there's Pentecost. Christmas, God the Father giving the gift of Jesus. Easter, Jesus rising from the dead. And Pentecost, the coming of the Holy Spirit. They proceed. First one, then another, and then another. As the scriptures reveal it to us, it talks about God the Father sending to us his Son Jesus, and Jesus saying, I'll send the Holy Spirit. You've got all three. You've got all three, and we use these words to try and help us to understand a mystery. A mystery, kind of like your body and soul. How do you explain soul to someone? Or to explain baptism. Baptism, not simple water, but water included in God's command and connected with God's word. How do you explain baptism to someone? Or the Lord's Supper. We come up and we receive bread and wine, Christ's body and blood, because his word was there. How do you explain communion to other people? How about prayer? Why should you pray? God doesn't listen to us. Well, sure he does. Oh, prayer doesn't do anything. Oh, yeah, prayer does. It's pretty powerful. There's a lot of things that we believe and confess because God clearly tells us those things. And so we have then this wonderful opportunity. This wonderful opportunity to confess. To confess the truth. To confess the Catholic faith, the faith that is readily available for all people to confess, the faith that is clearly taught in the scriptures, to confess it faithfully and truly and boldly. Yes, this I believe in the name of Jesus. Amen. Now may the peace of God that passes all our understanding keep our hearts and our minds confessing our Lord and Savior Jesus, unto life everlasting. Amen.